Triple G, Tyson Fury, the World Boxing Super Series semifinals, and Pauly Malignaggi fighting in bare knuckle boxing. We'll get into all that and more on today's episode with the Sweet Science Class. Alrighty, what's up, everybody? Thank you for joining today's episode. I got Felix and Jakeem already standing by. How y'all doing, fellas?
What's going on, Sweet Science Class family? Hope y'all enjoyed your weekend. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Let's get it going.
Yo, what's up, everybody? We had a couple weeks off, and, you know, we just glad to be back getting into it.
Okay, and before we even hop on to the topics we got for today, we've got a lot. We're going to squeeze in a lot of topics in a short period of time. But before we even get to all that, we've got a big announcement. It rolled out today. We are very, very excited to announce that we are proud owners of our own .com website. It is www.thesweetscienceclass.com. And on that site, we will be posting our own articles, basically like Boxing Scene, ESPN Boxing, Yahoo Boxing, all the sites out there that you get your news from. We're going to become one of those. We've always been that on the Facebook page, but for the most part, we're sharing other people's stories. So we wanted to become our own source. So we went out and recruited an awesome, very dependable writing team that will be headed by Landon Johnson. Shout out to him. And I'm going to go ahead and give the rest of the gang a shout out. As of now, we've got roughly 13 or 14 riders on the team. Just going to go down the list I'm looking at. I believe it might even be in alphabetical order. Maybe by first name. Chris Ortega, Court Sykes, George Porter, Igor Jerkovic, Javi Alvarez, John Gibbs, Kevin Kennedy, Matt Muller, Mike Tremarco, Rob Morales, Tomas Gomez, and Zaquan Ali. And we're actually still discussing with a couple other people. We've got a very strong dream team from all over the United States, all over England. It's going to be a nice, diverse group. Taking care of all the articles we'll be posting on the website, which will also have links to our YouTube, our podcast. It's going to be loaded with all sorts of stuff. Our merchandise, which is coming very, very soon. So we're very excited. We're going to enroll this, and we feel like we're officially here. We are going to be a media force to be reckoned with in the boxing scene. Guys, y'all got anything to say about this spectacular announcement?
Well, it feels like a new era is starting in the Sweet Science Class. Like Dustin said, we're just trying to be bigger than just a Facebook page. We're trying to put our stamp in this boxing game. Feels good to be able to put our passion in our hobby and possibly make it a living. Who knows? But the future, you know, with the future stores. And I welcome all the writers. I wish them the best luck. I think they're going to kick ass.
Yeah, I just want to congratulate all the new writers for, you know, coming aboard and joining the Sweet Science Class. I'm still kind of new myself, you know, been a couple of months. And I mean, if you love boxing, like, it's a good deal. Yeah, man, just welcome aboard, and it's going to be fun.
And two more shout-outs. We don't just have riders now. We got a couple people on the technical side doing some media for us, as well as Felix. He's our media guy. But now we've got Omar Gonzalez and Kyle Shortis. They're going to be helping out. Omar will actually be helping with building the website for us, maybe running our YouTube. We're going to start trying to podcast more in video form, maybe podcast live from YouTube. This is going to just continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger, so we hope that y'all just stay following with us and, you know, enjoy the ride, because we really, really are, and we're glad to have y'all with us.
And also, let me add one more thing. If you're a follower of the page, if you're listening to this podcast right now, and you have the desire to write, and you love boxing, give Dustin, Jakeem, me, just DM us, do whatever you got to do, get a hold of us, and let's see what we can do.
Yeah, we're not being that picky, because the way we see it is we don't deserve to almost be doing what we're doing. Like, we're just normal fans, just like all of you. I'm not Jim Lampley. I'm just a dude who's been watching boxing my whole life, who started a page and found some people who are as passionate as me. So we're really reaching out to anybody. If you've had the passion to write but have been scared to, never had the chance, you know, you didn't know who would put it up for you, come talk to us. We'll let you have a chance. There's no point in not trying. Give it a shot. If it doesn't work out after a couple months, we can discuss it. But if you have a passion for riding and you love boxing, come join the team. We're looking for anybody. We got our hand out. We are not going to turn anybody away in the Sweet Science class. So now we're going to hop back 2 weeks ago. Real quick, we're just going to skim through this whole list. Triple G's DAZN debut. Fellas, Jakeem, the Triple G hater, what'd you think?
The Triple G hater, huh? I'm going to be honest. Steve Rose, he did not belong in the ring with Triple G. It was a complete mismatch. We all knew what it was going to be, though. We know it's his debut. It's his tune-up fight. So we knew what it was going to be, but it wasn't even close. Steve Rose, I think it was the second or third round. I think I gave one round to him. It was either the second or the third.
It was the second.
The second, yeah. That's it. And I really think Triple G was just playing possum, just trying to, you know, see what he got. And then, you know, what was it, the fourth round, which we all predicted it was going to end. It was lights out. It was a spectacular knockout, like I said, what happened. And that's exactly what DAZN wanted, and that's exactly what Triple G needed for his DAZN debut. To, you know, get those subscribers in. So
yeah, that was his Rocky Fielding, I guess you can say. I mean, you know how it goes with the debuts, with new networks, new contracts. Got to build the momentum into a big fight, and that's all they're doing. And I'll tell you this, I think Steve Rose was a better contender to Triple G than Rocky Fielding was to Canelo. Regardless, I mean, I know he had a belt, but I think he was a more formidable opponent, I guess you could say. He touched Triple G a lot. I don't think anybody's talking about that. He touched Triple G a lot. It's just, Triple G's a freaking robot. It's a damn Terminator. I don't know. But I didn't see anything really new. I saw some head movement, you know, with the new trainer and everything. I saw a little bit of head movement, but really couldn't see nothing those four rounds. So I think, well, he only had, what, like a month with this new trainer? So give him some more time, and then we'll see. We'll probably get to seeing, you know, if he's added anything new, any new wrinkles, anything like that.
He definitely got touched up. It was a little surprising to me. I gave Rolls the second round, like Jakeem said. I don't know that I think he was playing possum. I think maybe he was. Maybe he was filling him out. But I thought Steve Rolls in the second round was kind of giving him that work. It was really weird. It was just Triple G's not. I mean, he gets hit. He's not like Floyd Mayweather defensive, but he was getting hit a lot and quickly and early, and it was just kind of odd to see. And then the fourth round happened, and he came out and he did what he does. So I don't know what to think.
I like how Jakeem said, like the fourth round, like everybody predicted, trying to take away from our prediction when we want some money.
Felix and I threw down some loot and won some money on the fourth round, and Jakeem is just, honestly, just been kind of a hater about it. I don't know why. But, yeah, Triple G, he looked pretty good. I don't know that I saw much of a difference with Jonathan Banks yet. Or maybe that was why he was getting hit so much. Maybe he was attempting the John Banks style and it wasn't working. And then the third, fourth round, he kind of went back. I don't know. We're going to have to just see in his next fight what's really going on with Triple G. And for the record, I don't want to see the trilogy. I don't want to see that. Do y'all?
I've been vocal about me not wanting to see the third fight. I mean, Triple G is getting older. Canelo's getting better. It just doesn't make sense at this point. You know, hopefully there's still other belts out there. I know Andre has a belt. So hopefully, you know, Canelo and Andre don't meet, and Canelo takes the belt, then there's, you know, no one else for Triple G to fight, because at this point in his career and with the contract he signed, I know he wants a title shot. So, yeah, I really don't think a third fight is necessary at this point.
I don't know. I'll see it. I mean, I know it's not necessary as far as, like, the way the rankings are going, and, you know, you got Andre with a belt, all that other stuff, and there's a lot of other fights that could be made, but, I mean, those two fights were such good fights. Why wouldn't I want to see it a third time? Now, it may be different, because, you know, Triple G's getting up there in age, and Canelo's in his physical prime. You know, he's at his peak right now, and
call me crazy, man. I'd love to see the fight. I don't think it's going to happen this year, though. Do you think that they're going to put Triple G in there with Canelo in the second fight of a, what is it, a five-fight deal?
Six.
Yeah, I don't know if you put him in there with Canelo on the second fight. I don't know about that. They might have to wait till next year, Cinco de Mayo or Independence Day, of Mexican Independence Day next year.
I think Cinco de Mayo would be cool. I don't really want to see it, but the only way I do want to see it, and I think it would be worth it at this point, let Andrade and Sulecki fight in 2 weeks, Triple G take on the winner of that, get a belt, and then Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, weekend, Triple G, Canelo, trilogy match for undisputed all the belts. You really can't get any more epic than that. Aside from that, I don't think I care to see the trilogy. Only due to Triple G's age, I'm worried that Canelo would just really have his way with him in the third match. Well, we'll talk about that in the future. Let's move over to the WBSS semifinals. We're just going to quickly skim through what happened. Bredis took out Glowacki in the third round in one of the most bizarre fights. Jakeem, I know you got to see it. Like, that was insane, right?
Yeah, that was a real bizarre fight. So much could happen in. There was a MMA elbow thrown by Bredis. And that, honestly, I really think that that really hurt him. I do too. Add to the fact the next round, he got knocked down after the bell rung. And I've been hearing stuff about that the referee, I don't even think he heard the bell. And I've seen comments from people that were at the event, and they said inside the arena they couldn't hear the bell. It was a weird sounding bell, very low. And I don't know, it sounded like a playground bell or something. But he got knocked down after the bell, and then he ended up getting knocked out the next round. So it was a bizarre fight. It was still entertaining, but bizarre fight. And Bredis, he moves on.
That playground bell was ringing like them kids were 10 minutes late. I don't know how nobody heard that. It was dinging repeatedly for 10 to 15 seconds. And the ref, Robert Byrd, husband of Queen Adelaide Byrd, let them fight for 10 to 15 extra seconds. And then Glowacki went down for a second time in that round after, yeah, like Jakeem mentioned, took a brutal Conor McGregor style elbow straight to the cheek. Like, it was very flush. Some refs would have probably stopped the fight. It was a weird, weird fight. Bredis comes out third round, dominates, knocks him out. Would it have happened anyway? I think so. Maybe around the fifth or sixth round. I think that elbow didn't speed it up like Jakeem said. I think it affected him. I really think that was a strong elbow that landed flush, like you're watching an MMA fight. It was a weird fight, but Bredis won. That's what happened. He's going on to the finals to take on Dorticos, who took out Tabidi in the 10th with a pretty nasty, just basic, simple, you know, 1-2, left, right. I'm actually a little shocked that that was the combination that took Tabidi out. It was pretty basic and simple. I was kind of disappointed in Tabidi. I actually picked him for the semi-upset. And I thought he fought the correct game plan, fighting in spurts, in and out, popping in with combos. But he wasn't doing it enough. It seemed like he definitely feared Dorticos' power. And me and Jakeem were kind of discussing, somewhat arguing during the match to each other, that I thought Dorticos looked huge compared to Tabidi. Not just a height difference. Jakeem thought it was mostly height. I thought he looked really big. I thought it looked like almost like a weight class apart, and Tabidi just fought a little bit nervous, and he ended up getting crushed. What are your thoughts, Jakeem? I know you saw it.
But Dorticos, I don't think, like I said, he didn't really look that big. He just had like a dad bod, and he had like a longer reach. Tabidi was more stout, more muscle, but I guess the reach was a problem because Dorticos kept getting to him. So I think maybe that's why he was kind of hesitant, because of the reach. And like you said, I expected Tabidi to win. Like, I don't know what's up with these money team guys. None of them are really shining. Yeah, like, I thought he would win. I've never really seen a lot of Dorticos. I never seen a lot of him. I seen more Tabidi, so that's who I was rooting for. But he just didn't have it. Like, he just, I don't think he's on the level. He was on the same level as the other cruiserweights.
Yeah, I agree. You could just see it from the second or third round. I was like, okay, I don't think he's going to pull this off. Dordekus just kind of had his number. Dad bod. He does kind of have a dad bod, but the KO doctor's got some crazy power. You could tell Tabidi didn't want to get near it. So then we moved on to Tyson Fury looking pretty fantastic in a two-round fight. Took out Tom Schwartz in two. His Las Vegas debut, also his ESPN debut. Felix, what'd you think?
I didn't think much of the actual fight. I think he looked, he's looking in great shape. I mean, compared to what he looked like last fight. It was just a showcase, like we talked about. You know, the first fight with the new network, it's pretty much a fight served on a platter, you know. And he didn't disappoint. I mean, he came out with the Apollo Creed gear, you know, the James Brown bumping. Like, I loved all that, man. You saw me posting the group, man. That he's a showman. And doing all that made me realize that boxing is in such a great place right now, man. With the heavyweight division doing what it's doing, the personalities. Honestly, this is like since, like, what, pre-Klitschko? I mean, maybe even bigger. Because, I mean,
Lennox Lewis is dominating a little bit. But it wasn't, I don't think it was this top heavy as it is right now. We got like six guys, man, that six or seven, I mean, even the top 10, just look at the top 10. Dude, we got some names. We got some really good contenders. And you know, back to the fight, what was crazy to me about the fight was how in the first round he came out orthodox, and in the second round he was a completely different fighter. He came out southpaw. He was doing a style that we don't see too much. He's almost like the Terrence Crawford of the heavyweight division now, man. the way he can box. So I'm loving it, man. I'm loving Tyson Fury's debut. I mean, I don't know what else is in store for him next, because being with the ESPN, I don't really know who their stable of heavyweights are, unless they're willing to already do the cross platform with the other networks and stuff like that. I know they're talking about Wilder next year, but before that, I mean, is he going to fight another fight like this, or is he going to up the competition?
Yeah, outside of the Wilder fight, y'all know I've been real critical of Tyson Fury fights and his style and things like that. But if you're a casual, or if this is your first time seeing Tyson Fury fight on ESPN, he probably lured you in and got you really excited, because that was a really good showcase for him. He showed his reflexes. He showed his power. Like Felix said, his showmanship, like, very entertaining. Like, it was a really good, I mean, the fight wasn't as good, but for Fury, it was a good showcase and a good ESPN debut for him. And we all know ESPN needs it, because their stable, their top-ranked stable on ESPN is not really good. So I think they did a good job of maybe, you know, luring in some viewers and some fans of top-ranked boxing.
I think he did really well. It was a step down, so he did what he was supposed to do. He looked really well. The entrance was great. Like Felix said, you know, I loved it. I'm a fan of Tyson Fury. And it is kind of a pattern. DAZN's debut with Canelo, Fielding. DAZN's debut with Triple G, Rolls. ESPN's debut with Fury, Schwartz. So, like you said, you get kind of that welcome fight where you get to look really good, lure some fans in. It's a good strategy, and honestly, all three passed the test and did exactly what they were supposed to do. So the heavyweight division just got way more interesting, and to me, what's exciting is now there's two rematches brewing in the heavyweight division that need to happen. Ruiz, Joshua, Fury, Wilder. That is very exciting to me.
Yeah, so those two fights are... We know that's going to happen in the near future. The one I'm more excited for probably, well, actually both, I'm equally excited for both of them.
I think I am too. I'm very equally excited for both. I'm
same here. I mean, the Ortiz, I wasn't too excited at first, but then I'm thinking it makes sense. I mean, it's a PBC fight. It's easy to make. He's a top contender. And they're trying to get built up to the Fury fight. So, I mean, and if y'all remember, I mean, Ortiz had Wilder a little wobbly. You know, some people had him winning the fight. So, you know, it makes sense. It makes sense. Now, AJ Ruiz, I have nothing to say about that yet. We got to see what AJ comes. I don't know if he is switching trainer or switching game plans, or he just got to learn how to fight tall. No more fighting small. But I wanted to ask, though, back to the Fury, not to change the subject. Do you think it was smart for ESPN to have it on ESPN Plus on Tyson Fury's debut?
No, but that's what they did with Terrence Crawford's debut against Jeff Horn. They do very questionable things, in my opinion.
I was just thinking about that. Like, that makes absolutely... Because somebody told me, because I was working, I didn't get to watch the undercard. Somebody told me that the undercards were on regular ESPN and the main event was on ESPN Plus.
There was like four undercards on ESPN TV, yes, and then Sullivan Barrera, Jesse Hart, followed by Fury Schwartz was on ESPN Plus. And that's exactly what they did for the Crawford Horn. And it just, it's
backwards.
I don't like it.
That's backwards logic. I mean, wouldn't you have the ESPN Plus for, you know, the hardcores? Because, you know, we'll pay to watch undercards. But if you're really trying to build up this heavyweight fighter that you just signed, I mean, put him on ESPN. Regular ESPN.
Well, it's about money, and I think that they showcase Fury because, you know, he is the big fighter. He's the heavyweight fighter, so his first fight, put him on ESPN Plus, try to get some more subscribers. And, yeah, the fight was on ESPN Plus, but they had a whole special on ESPN, like the weigh-in. I think Max, he did his show, like, on ESPN, like, mixed in with the weigh-in. So it's just all probably trying to get some initial subscribers before they start making him fight on regular ESPN, because I know in the future he's probably going to have a couple of fights just on ESPN.
But there's like no consistency though, because I mean, like Dustin said, the first fight that Bud had on ESPN was ESPN Plus, but wasn't his second fight on regular ESPN?
Yeah, and that's what I know when he signed the deal, when the Top Rank signed the deal with ESPN, it was supposed to be so many dates on ESPN Plus and so many on regular ESPN. So he's just trying to strip out.
It would just make sense. If, like, if you're going to do it on ESPN Plus, then it would always be on ESPN Plus. But yeah, if you say it's that way, then that makes sense.
They are in kind of a weird pickle. I never thought about that, because DAZN is just DAZN. They're on the app. But ESPN has to kind of battle with fairly free television and then a $6 app.
Yeah.
They're in a weirder situation than DAZN is.
And they also have other sports. They have other contracts with other sports.
Right.
And so that's why they have, like, ESPN 2 and, you know, the app. They have all that stuff. So, yeah, they do have a lot of more obstacles to go through when it comes to televising, I guess.
They really do. And that kind of just hit me as we were speaking. I've never thought about that, so.
And speaking of the networks and bringing it back to the heavyweight division, both of those fights are going to be cross-promotional fights. When you look at Fury versus Wilder and Ruiz versus Joshua. So for the fight fans, that's a good thing, because that means these fights are possible. Like, for them to make the fight, it's not impossible. So I like that.
Yeah, it gives hope for Crawford Spence in the near future. And on that note, we're just going to quickly skim through this upcoming weekend. There's actually events Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday is a rematch that I think we're all pretty excited for. Cancio will be taking on Machado. The first fight, Machado was a heavy favorite and actually dropped Cancio in the second or third round. And then Cancio got up and in, I think, around the sixth round, stopped him. It was a real-life Rocky story. Cancio has several losses, maybe even a couple draws. I'm blanking on his record right now. He had actually even stopped boxing for a little bit, and then his family kind of talked him back into it. And then he goes out, real-life Rocky, and upsets the undefeated, up-and-coming Machado. Pretty big shock, and now they're getting a rematch this Friday on DAZN. I'm excited either way. I mean, Cancio does it again, or Machado gets revenge. What do y'all think about this one?
Yeah, this should be a good fight. Machado lost the first fight. It was an upset, so the rematch... probably going to be better. It's going to remind me of when Chocolatito got upset and it was a rematch, so you really don't know which way to swing. It's about a 50-50 fight, and it should be a good one.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It really is 50-50. First, it was looked at as like 80-20, 90-10 in favor of Machado, but you got to think 50-50 at this point, because you've got that mental advantage that you already defeated them. Then we move on to Saturday. It's sort of boxing. It's a little different. bare knuckle boxing, which I don't watch. I mean, it's not something I watch, and I probably will never really watch it, but I gotta say, I think I'm going to watch it Saturday. I think it might even be a pay-per-view, and I'll probably pay for it. I don't care. I think I have to see this. Pauly Malignaggi, retired pro boxer, Showtime analyst, is going to bare knuckle box. I think the guy's name is like Labov. I really don't know his name. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I don't know a lot about this fight. I'm not super interested, but it's Pauly without gloves. So I've got to see it. Like, Felix, are you going to watch this?
You know what? Out of any boxer you could ever think of to do this, wouldn't Pauly be like the last one?
It's almost the funniest one you could pick.
Yeah.
Like, if you made a list of boxers, like, oh, who would do good in bare knuckle boxing? Make a list. Pauly would definitely be, because all of the problems he's had with his hands. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. But the experience that he has, you know, because bare knuckle boxing is pretty much boxing rules, right?
Pretty much boxing rules. It's basically Queensberry rules.
Yeah, so he has definitely the advantage. I mean, he's a boxer. The other guy's more like MMA-style fighter. So when it comes to the striking, Pauly should have the edge. My only concern with Pauly is not him being able to take a punch, because I've seen him take big punches from fighters. I know he was getting stopped a little bit late in his career, you know, chin kind of deteriorating, but for the most part, Pauly's always been a tough dude. It's just his hands. How's he been training for this, too? You know what I mean? But knowing that he has pretty brittle hands, I want Pauly to represent boxing, though. That's why we need him to win, because if he doesn't win, you know we're going to hear from all these other, you know, the MMA guys and all these other guys. They're going to, I guess it's going to be like a somewhat of a, like a revenge for Connor or some shit. You know what I mean?
This is the super C-class Floyd Connor.
Yeah, it's like the bootleg version. Yeah. But I know they said, like, this dude's homies with Connor or something like that. And, you know, Pauly and Connor have a beef. So there's, like, some real drama going on here. So this is going to be pretty interesting, man. I know Pauly spit on him, which I detest, dude. He never spit on a man. But, hey, I mean, they're not going in the ring to freaking hold hands and dance. I mean, they're going in there to fight. So, I'm you know, I might, how much is it going to cost, though?
I don't remember. I don't think it was a lot. I think it was, like, 20 or 30. I'm going to buy it. I have to see this.
Yeah. I know I say I'm not, but then I'm going to probably get home Saturday night and be like, well, guess I got to watch this Pauly fight. Let me go ahead and order this shit. So, yeah. I expect Pauly to win, though. And that's with no knowledge. That's with no – I've never even seen the other guy fight. So don't take – don't. I don't even know if they're taking bets for this. Are they taking bets? Maybe, but – don't listen to me. I don't know nothing about this sport. Know nothing about the other guy. But I think Pauly's going to win.
That's where I'm at. Like, I'm picking Pauly just off boxing knowledge, because I've heard that this guy isn't the greatest striker, even by, you know, MMA standards. And that's coming from people who kind of fight that type of style in real life, people I know. So I kind of take their word on it. I've never seen the guy. I'm rooting Pauly. I'm going to pick Pauly. But like Felix said, I have no idea about this other guy, about this sport, really, what's going to happen. So I'm just curious to see. And then we're getting a rare treat of a Sunday card. I love when we get the rare Sunday card. I really do. Return of Jermell Charlo and Rigan Dial. Both coming off losses. Both have been out of the ring since those losses. Kind of fairly long layoffs. I don't have a ton to say about these. I mean, we just got to see what they look like coming off their losses. What do you think, Jakeem?
Didn't Rigger, though, didn't he have a fight after the Lomachenko?
I
think he fought once.
Did he? I thought he's been missing since Loma.
No, I think the milk carton. I think the milk carton is. Yeah, I don't think he's on the milk carton anymore.
Maybe not.
But yeah, he's just ever since the Lomachenko fight, you know, he's fallen off the radar. So hopefully, you know, he can get back in the spotlight and try to fight for another championship. And the Charlo fight, I'm real disappointed that Harrison got hurt. Everybody wanted to see this one. Everybody thinks, I won't say everybody. A lot of people feel like Charlo got robbed. Me, I've already expressed it on the page. I thought I had Charlo winning by a bit, but I'm not mad that Harrison won. It was a good little build-up, unfortunately.
We're going to have to wait for the rematch. But Charlo should win this. Cota, it should be an easy win for him. Cota was knocked out by Lubin, and Charlo knocked Lubin out the first round. I know, triangle, whatever. But Charlo's going to win. So I'm picking Charlo to win that one.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that was a close fight with Harrison. That was a really close fight. I'm tired of these 7-5 round, these 7-5 fights, these 8-4, you know, 8 rounds to 4 rounds, whatever, being called robberies. It's not a robbery. I mean, if it's a 7-5 fight, it can swing either way. I mean, so, yeah, I had Charlo winning, but like Jakeem said, I wasn't mad at the decision. I'm really disappointed that he's not going to be fighting Harrison again for the rematch. Was really looking forward to that. And let's see what they can do, man, because there's a lot of hype with these Charlos. And I know I'm on the bandwagon. I'm still 1 foot on the bandwagon, even after that loss, because I don't think he looked that bad.
So, yeah, I'm excited to see how they both look on Sunday. Ah, again, I can't express. I love a Sunday card. So we got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. A little bit of something each night. I think that pretty much wraps up today's show. Fellas, you got closing statements, goodbyes, shout-outs?
To the new team, man, once again, welcome. We're going to have so much new, more content coming to you. We're going to start pushing a YouTube page. We have a lot of plans. And as you can see, every time we made, you know, a bold statement, we've come through. So just stay tuned, man. And also, I was on daddy mode today, so if you had any noises in the background, like Toy Story or a baby or anything like that, I apologize. You know, it's Monday. Got to take care of the kids. Got to do all that. But I'm all about balance, guys.
Man, I just want to welcome the new team. I want to wish them luck and for them just to do the best they can and enjoy it. And I also want to send prayers up to Zab Judah. And there was another, it was 2 weeks ago, the same weekend. It was a Mexican fighter who was knocked out cold. And he was in a coma for a little bit. So, man, y'all know we all love boxing. It's a dangerous sport, but, you know, prayers to them, and I hope they recover soon. And shout out to everybody that listens to us. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel, like the page, join the group, and, you know, just support us.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, may sound a little bit corny, but just a shout out to all boxers out there in the world, even if pro, amateur, I don't care. I believe we do kind of coach from the couch a little bit sometimes, and, you know, they should have did this. Why did they do that? Oh, he's a bum. And I think it gets overlooked at how tough boxing really, really is and the dangers they're going through every day. And a lot of us are sitting at home eating potato chips, drinking sweet tea, and we're complaining. And some of us need to think about that sometimes, maybe even me.
Yeah, and, you know, and nothing wrong with coaching from the sidelines, you know, doing like that. But the one thing that really always gets to me is whenever you question someone's manhood or question their heart, and, you know, and these guys are in there getting their ass kicked, and you're over here like, oh, man, they quit. Like, dude, what do you – you know, this guy has a family to go home to, you know. He has another fight to make. He has to make money. This is their job. This is their career. And we forget about that. We think this is WWE sometimes, and we got to stop that.
I agree, and I've seen, last thing I'll say on this, I've seen Tom Schwartz keep being referred to as a bum or a tomato can, and that really bothers me. Tom Schwartz is not a bum if you're a tomato can. If you step into the ring, you're none of those things. Tyson Fury was just a better man that night. It doesn't mean, Tom Schwartz will probably beat the hell out of a lot of us, a lot of you. A lot of the same people saying these negative things. You wouldn't want to meet Tom Schwartz in an alley, so... we all need to remember that sometimes. And yeah, like they said, shout out to the whole new writing staff, the media team. We're very excited and proud of the website. Stay tuned. Like Felix said, any promise we've ever made, we've delivered on. And this was the biggest one. So now we're here to stay. Follow the podcast. We're on every outlet, YouTube channel, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook page, Facebook group, .com website. We're everywhere. The Sweet Science Class is out.